All right. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to our Love and Its Fruits study here on 1 Corinthians 13. We are going to continue this week with Love is Not Rude. So it's good to be back with you all after a week off for our praise and prayer last week and for my week off. And excited to get back into this study with you here. Good to see some of you there. I think I saw some Hayes on the list there, or their name popped up, but I'm not sure. I can't see who all else is there. But whoever is there, good to be with you. And we'll, if you have any comments at all during the study, you're welcome to drop those comments or questions. You're welcome to drop those in the comments or send me a text. And I'll try to get to those answers, answer those questions by the end. Oh, hi, Brenda. Hi, Finches. So you're always welcome to ask questions. We are going to continue our study on Love and Its Fruits. Ordinarily, this is a study of Jonathan Edwards' book, Charity and Its Fruits, this one here. And this week is a little different. I still have the link in the description to this book if you want to keep studying that. But I told you last time that I thought Edwards kind of skipped over one of the words here, that love is not rude. He lumped it in with pride, with the previous two terms that really do deal with pride. And I thought he kind of skipped over something that's worth looking at. So with a little bit of fear and trepidation that adding to what Jonathan Edwards did in this study, I thought we'd take this week to look at this idea that love is not rude. And that'll be our discussion this week. So as always, or I think I've forgotten the last couple of weeks, but hello, Haney's, or Jonathan, or I'm not sure who all's there, but good to be with you as well. I've provided the Psalms that I've some suggested Psalms. If you're doing this together as a family, you might as well, it might be worth singing those Psalms together that fit this, the theme of what we're doing this afternoon. But we're looking at this topic that love is not rude. And in traditional, well, really in most traditional, in most cultures, but if we think of our own traditional Western culture, it's kind of been assumed that you should be polite as a person. This is something that is just part of your upbringing in almost any home, and in one form or another, the politeness might look different from one home to another, but, you know, you've got to mind your P's and Q's, you've got to, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness, you need to honor your elders, you need to mind your manners, you need to chew with your mouth closed. And so we spend a lot of time teaching children, especially, how to say please and thank you, and when it's appropriate to wear certain kinds of clothes or not those other clothes, or when you have to wear clothes, how to introduce yourself to people, how to talk to people you don't know, as opposed to people who are your close family. You kind of talk a different way to different people. And so there's a lot of that idea of politeness that's, it's just part of our life living in the culture that we do. But we're also in a culture right now that loves to upset convention. Certainly in the last 50 years, 60 years of American culture, there's been a lot of busting up old conventions and throwing things out and asking, you know, why should we do these things? Why should we respect our elders? Why should we have table manners? Why should we, you name it, you know, why should we adhere to these restrictive conventions about clothing or things like that? And, you know, the argument is, well, these are just social conventions, so there's no reason why we should have to do these things. And so this is an interesting question, I think. Is politeness or not being rude something that we should care about as Christians? Does it matter if you're polite? And this has come to mind, I know, in my own house, as we've been trying to teach our children all kinds of things in life, and one of the things that we try to do is connect what we're telling them to do or not do to God's law. And we'll say, you shouldn't take this from your sister because that's stealing, and God has told us not to steal, or you shouldn't lie because God's told us not to lie. And so there have been a lot of these things, though, that we're teaching them that are social conventions. You know, why not lick your plate at the end of the meal? I mean, I'm sure it would taste good. And why not chew with your mouth open? And, you know, why not wear your underwear on the outside of your clothes? You know, why do these things, it's been tough to say, this is why, from God's law, from God's word, why we should do these things. So we are going to look at that a little bit today. Think about this idea of politeness and rudeness, and hopefully you'll be able to say at the end of this why it matters whether you're polite or not in your life. Because 1 Corinthians 13 does tell us that love is not rude. And we'll look at a little bit. Hopefully, I'll make sure that you see what the Bible means by that term, being rude. And we'll look at that here together. So to give you a bit of an outline today, we're doing we're going to read the passage like we usually do. We're going to look at what it means to be rude. Then we're going to look at the connection between love and not being rude, and then some application after that. Sort of following Edward's general format here. Read the passage, what it means to be rude, love connected to not being rude, and then some application. So I'll read 1 Corinthians 13 here. We'll read the whole chapter again just so we can keep getting familiar with this. So this is the Word of God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So may the Lord bless the reading of His Word and as we study it here together. So the verse we are focused on is verse 5, the very beginning of verse 5, which really is the same sentence as verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. That's what we're looking at here today. So the thesis, again, following Edward's format here, my thesis for you today is that a loving Christian is a polite person. If you're going to love the way that Christ has loved us, you will be a polite person, and you will not be a rude person. And that's what Scripture teaches us here. So let's look at what rudeness means. What we're talking about here when you say that love is not rude. And I would just to offer a definition of my own definition of scripturally speaking of what it means to be rude is doing what is shameful for you and or offensive to others. To be rude, scripturally speaking, is to do what is shameful for you and or offensive to others. And another definition, maybe another way to put it, would be doing something rude is doing something that is not fitting. It's not fitting for the situation that you are in. And we'll look a little bit at how Scripture teaches us these things. This term that's used for love is not rude is it's a verb, to act rudely. Love does not act rudely. And it's only used one other place in the New Testament. It's used in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36, where it's talking about what seems to be an engaged couple. And it says, if anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, and so on and so forth. It's talking about an engaged couple, and the man believes that he's not acting properly, and that's that same verb, acting rudely or acting improperly, that he's acting improperly toward his fiancée. And so there's sort of a sense of moral impropriety there. There's maybe something that's not morally right about what they're doing or the way that he's acting towards her. And we'll get into that a little bit. But interestingly, this term is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, to describe it's mostly used in the context of being improperly uncovered, in talking about nakedness and someone being uncovered. that that's the way that this word is used in the Septuagint. It's used in a pair with the word naked in Ezekiel several times, and to be naked and uncovered, or naked and improper. And so there's sort of a sense of, again, some sort of impropriety that comes from being uncovered or not properly attired for the situation. And then there's an adjective form of the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians 12:23, where he's talking about, using the analogy of the body, and he talks about how we have we have honorable parts, and we have less honorable parts of the body. And he says, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. And that word unpresentable parts is related to our word for acting improperly today. So it's the sense that there are parts of our body that we don't just show the world, and it would be improper for us to show them. And it's also the same term is used in the Septuagint in Genesis when Jacob's daughter has been sexually assaulted by someone, and the sons of Israel were upset because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel, an improper thing, a socially unacceptable thing that had been done to their sister. So in most of these examples, there's a morally sinful aspect to it, that what has been done is uncovering nakedness is against God's law and our current, you know, we won't get into the whole theology of nakedness and the fall and all of that today, but uncovering someone's nakedness is not appropriate under God's law. And there are these other things that are morally improper. But the general idea here with this term that's being used is it's something that's offensive to other people. It's something that causes offense, that makes other people uncomfortable, or is generally regarded as socially unacceptable of what you're doing. And so there are all kinds of things that fall under that, because there are things that are morally unacceptable, like I've just been talking about, the examples I've been talking about. But there are also things that are culturally or socially unacceptable, that aren't actually morally wrong, but that are included in this Greek term that's being used here. It does include things that are just social conventions, that it makes people uncomfortable if you do this thing, even though it's maybe not wrong. And those things differ from one culture to the next. So that's the idea of rudeness. That's sort of a definition of rudeness. And so look at some of the examples of things that might be rude that Scripture addresses. Doing something at the wrong time can be rude, or can be improper or unacceptable, even though it may be right at another time. This is that Scripture often talks about something that is fitting or that is right for the time. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." And so choosing the right words at the right time is something that's highly valued in Scripture. There are times when it would be absolutely appropriate to say something that would be totally inappropriate in another setting. And Scripture says there's a timeliness of things. And this goes along with Ecclesiastes 3, with that long list of a time for this, a time for that, a time for this, a time for that. And it's they're opposites, right? It's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose. And so there is an appropriate time for certain things, and that's an aspect of rudeness, that if we don't recognize that certain actions, even if they're morally right sometimes, may be wrong in another setting. That's an aspect of what we're talking about here with rudeness. Then another aspect of rudeness we see in Scripture is exposing something that it's proper to cover. It's proper to cover certain things. And this is particularly dealing with the issue of nakedness. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:23 talks about we do cover our more unpresentable parts, our parts that should not be uncovered. And there's some aspects of that I think are fairly universal culture to culture and should be universal culture to culture. But there are also aspects of that that are are somewhat culturally determined. And I do think it's appropriate to adhere to, unless it goes too far for scriptural limits on nakedness, it's appropriate to adhere to cultural norms of nakedness and covering yourself, even if you maybe feel like it's unnecessary at certain points, just because it's part of acting in a way that's proper, and acting in a way that doesn't cause offense to others. And then there's also this aspect of bringing to light things that are morally shameful. It's rude to bring up morally heinous things. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:12, and he says it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. There are subjects that it's not worth repeating. You hear people say that. It's not worth repeating. It's not, it causes offense. It should cause offense to people to bring up some of the heinous sins that people commit. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a right time to name heinous sin and to show just how awful it is. But generally speaking, we should refrain from just casually speaking of really heinous sins. And then in Scripture, there's also the idea of rudeness from not showing respect where it's due. We are not an honor society, generally speaking, comparatively speaking. In what little cross-cultural experience I have, it seems like our culture is about as little of the honor culture as any of the other cultures I've interacted with. And this the idea of shame and honor is so much stronger, certainly stronger in the times that Scripture was written and in many other cultures around the world. But we should be those who show respect. God commands Israel in Leviticus 19:32. He says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Now, we're supposed to show respect. So if you want a proof text for honoring your elders, there you go. There's Leviticus 19:32. We should show respect to those who are our elders, and who are more, even for those who are more mature than us. And the issue is then every culture has its own way of showing respect, right? There's something that may be respectful in one culture, may be rude in another, but whatever way we're supposed to show whatever way our culture shows honor and respect, love is not rude. We are supposed to be willing to show respect in the way that our culture shows respect. And this is, we are not, you are a cultural being, whether you like it or not. You communicate in a particular way because of the culture that you've been raised in, or the cultures that you've been raised in. And it's not possible to be cultureless. And so you might think, well, I want to bust up all social convention, but there's always going to be some kind of culture of respect, even within the parts of our culture that don't want to show respect to anyone. They still have ways of showing respect, and so we should be skilled in using and accustomed to using our culture's ways of showing respect to people, because love is not rude. What we do, show honor and respect. We act in ways that are proper and that don't offend people. And then another aspect of rudeness or politeness, I guess maybe an aspect of politeness that we see in Scripture, is you do see scriptural characters or people in history recorded in Scripture showing respect and honor to others by observing social conventions. You look at the way that Paul speaks in his speeches, in his defense before Felix or before King Agrippa. And he observes some of the customs of social conventions of speaking politely, and that's all part of becoming all things to all men, which is a topic I'll talk about here in just a moment. But as Christians, we should be students of our culture to see how to study how not to give offense unnecessarily, and that's part of not being rude. So if that's sort of a picture of rudeness, that's a picture of what's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says that love does not act rudely, then what's the connection between love and being polite? What's the question between love and not being rude? And I want to think first here about how our love for God should make us polite people. It should make us not rude people. And one aspect of that is that if we love God, we won't want to expose what is shameful in His sight. When we talk about it being shameful to talk about some of the things that they do in secret that others do, or the sins that are committed in secret, it's not just that it's shameful before other people to speak about those things, it's shameful before God because we're speaking casually about something that is just that He hates. And that goes for all sin, of course, that we shouldn't speak casually or flippantly about any sin. But especially that the scripture does seem to give degrees of sin, you know, those who act knowingly are more at fault than those who act without as much knowledge of what's going on. And there are levels of heinousness of sin, and the truly really heinous sins that are especially shameful to speak of, we shouldn't want to speak about those things because we love God and we know that it's shameful in His sight. And then also, if we love God, we'll remember that we're created in His image, and a part of acting with politeness is really showing respect to yourself as one made in His image. If you think about a lot of social conventions, what we think of as being polite, a lot of it is to carry yourself with decorum, to carry yourself in a respectable way. And if we believe that we're made in God's image, because we believe we're made in God's image, we should want to carry ourselves in a respectable way, in a way that differentiates us from animals. Think about a lot of the, you know, you don't stick your face on your plate to eat. You use a fork and knife because you're different from the animals, right? It's one of those ways of showing, and every culture has its own ways of doing this, so you can just reach out and grab with your hand off your plate in some cultures, in other cultures you can't. But there's always some kind of way of distinguishing yourself and showing that you're not an animal. And that's something we should be, if we love God, and we want to show respect to His image. You think about, you know, if you have a picture of a loved one, and some people are just treating it awfully and are mistreating that picture, you want to show respect to that picture of the person you love. And we are made in the image of God. We should want to carry ourselves respectfully. So that's some of the connection between our love for God and our desire to be polite. But also, if we love others, I think this is really probably more of the focus here in 1 Corinthians 13. If we love others, we will want to practice the golden rule of doing to unto others as we would have them do to us, and we will want to make other people comfortable around us. We want to not cause people unnecessary distress by offending them. Even if it's something that we don't think matters, if it will offend someone else, if you love them, you won't want to offend them. If you think about how often there are generational customs that are different, and you might be going to grandpa and grandma's house, and you might have mom and dad will say to turn around to the kids and say, okay, now you remember at grandma's house, we don't, you know, whatever it is, we don't wear our shoes in the house, or we don't put our feet up on the coffee table, or we don't, you know, it could be all kinds of different customs that you say, well, this is something we don't make a big deal of at our house, but we love her. We want her to be comfortable, and so because we do that, we're gonna show respect for her and be polite around her. And so again, we should want to make other people feel comfortable if we love them. We shouldn't be wanting to cause them unnecessary distress. And really, when you think about being polite, a lot of the time it's a matter of making someone else feel. Giving someone else the peaceful feeling of being in familiar social surroundings. You say the polite thing when the person comes in the door. You offer them this or that to make them feel comfortable, because that's part of just wanting them, loving them, and that's a lot of what politeness really comes down to. And you think about Jesus and the Pharisee that invited him to dinner, and he didn't wash Jesus' feet, which was he didn't have his feet washed, which was really a rude thing to do to Jesus. Now, at the end of the day, was Jesus going to really suffer in any way by not having washed feet? Well, not necessarily, but it was a polite thing to make someone feel comfortable and at home, and the Pharisee didn't do that for him. And so there are some of these social expectations that we can do to help people feel comfortable. Now, I wanted to give a caveat here that it is appropriate sometimes to try to overturn some certain cultural norms that are harmful. So throughout history, there have been things that are considered rude or considered polite that really are harmful practices. I just think of some of the Victorian or early 20th century, maybe even well into the 20th century, attitudes towards pregnancy in Western culture, where women were expected to hide the fact that they were pregnant, and it was somehow inappropriate or not polite for someone to be clearly pregnant, and it just seems like that's a very damaging thing for a pregnant woman, and damaging in our attitude towards new life. And so I'm glad that there's been a reversal of a lot of that. I remember if any of you've read the Little Britches books, there's a story there where this boy is so worried about his poor mom, whose corset isn't working properly because her corset must be broken because her waist isn't as thin as it once was, and doesn't even know his mom's pregnant until the baby's born because of their attitudes towards pregnancy. So anyway, there are some of these attitudes or cultural norms that are good for us to work to get rid of. Other ones might be, you know, today it's not considered polite to talk about religion in the workplace or in some other places. And there may be times where we need to observe that for the peacefulness of a workplace or a home. But that's one way I think that the evil one tries to stop spiritual conversations from happening. And there may be maybe something that we need to work against. And there are also all kinds of customs, societal customs, that treat certain people as less than human. And whether it's women or children or people of certain races, that there are customs that are considered polite, or something that if you did it, it would be considered rude, that are really harmful to society. So I'm not just saying you have to play along with all cultural customs. We do need to be discerning and say there are some of these things that are damaging and we should be working against them. And then another way that our love for other people should drive us to be polite is that when we love someone who is lost, who is not saved, is not a believer, we should be willing to sacrifice our comfort, to do everything we can to not offend this person, to make that person comfortable, so that we can get closer with that person to share the gospel with them. This is something that missionaries think about a lot, because they're going into a different culture, and so they think about, well, I need to learn I don't want to offend people for no good reason before I ever get a chance to present the gospel to them. I need to learn the customs of this culture so that I'm not just blithely offending people all over the place. But we adapt as Christians. Part of following in Christ's footsteps when he came to our world, came down and lived in this world, that we go to people and we adapt our lives to them so that we can reach them with the gospel. This is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. And I think this is important enough that I'm going to read all those verses here. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. He says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." And this would be the point that if you don't get anything else out of this lesson, make sure you hear this, that one of the major reasons that we are not rude and that we are polite people as Christians is because we're adapting ourselves to other people to bring them the gospel. that we are trying to make other people feel as comfortable as possible, to remove all stumbling blocks between them and the gospel by trying to avoid any offense we might cause them that's not the offense of the gospel itself. It really matters what other people find offensive. You might say, well, who cares what they think about what's rude? You know, it doesn't matter. What they're saying is totally just social convention. But to a Christian, as Christians, it matters to us what will offend someone else, because we care about them and we want to make them comfortable so they're willing to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. We do everything we can to meet a person where he or she is, and so that there aren't any obstacles to the gospel itself. And the gospel itself will be offensive. We know that. Scripture's told us that it will be, you know, the gospel, the cross is a stumbling block. It's foolishness to the Greeks, is a stumbling block to the Jews. So the gospel will be offensive, but part of our job as evangelists, or evangelizing the people around us, is to remove whatever offense we can by being respectful and polite. And I would just encourage you to think about the fact that if you were going to another country as a missionary, you would, in almost any case, you would study the culture so that you won't be giving offense unnecessarily. You're trying to learn, okay, what would I do as a Westerner that would just offend them without me even realizing it? And I would just encourage you, if you would be willing to do that as a missionary, are you willing to do that for your own culture? Are you willing to observe the social norms of your own culture in an effort to get close to the people around you, so that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with them? So just to think a little bit about application of this, I would ask you to consider and look at your own life and try to discern, are you known as a rude person? Are you known as a polite person? And why? If so, whichever the answer is, if you're polite or if you're rude, why do people consider you that way? And especially if you know that people consider you to be rude, I hope that this study here has shown you that it's not just inconsequential. It's a matter of love for the people around you and bringing the gospel to them. Again, we're in a culture right now of upsetting convention and letting it all hang out, and there's no sense of shame for anything anymore in our culture. And I do think there's times when it's good to upset a cultural sense of shame for something. It's, again, pregnancy is nothing shameful. I'm trying to think of other examples. But there are other things that people consider shameful that we shouldn't. But there is a right place for shame, a right place for a sense of propriety. And so as you hear people talking about upsetting convention, test those things that they're trying to, those conventions they're trying to upset, and say, is there a good reason scripturally why we should hold on to this convention? So we do need to not unnecessarily restrict ourselves or call evil something that God has called good. So we need to test those things and say, okay, maybe we should get rid of some of these social norms. But I would encourage you to, as you think about what comes to your mind when you think about being polite or rude, but think about those individual things. Go through in your mind, what is polite, what is rude, and say, okay, why is this polite or why is this rude? And for those of you kids who are watching, this is your chance. If your parents tell you not to do something because it's not polite, because that's rude, this is your chance. You should say, well, why is it rude? Why is it not polite? And you can stop and talk about it a little bit. And maybe you might end up saying, well, there's really no good reason for it. It just makes other people more comfortable. We shouldn't be trying to offend the people around us. And you need to learn that. That might be the final answer. But this is worth talking about and worth taking some time to look through and say, is it because it's a lack of respect for God and for his law? It's morally shameful. Is it a lack of respect for your own body as an image bearer? Or is it just something that makes other people uncomfortable? So I think it might be interesting just to think through some of those table manners or things that we say and just say, okay, why is this considered rude? So this all comes down to really that Christ was not rude to us. Christ met us where we are, where we were and where we are. He came and he observed the customs of a first century Palestinian Jew. He spoke in a common language. He showed respect to those around him in the ways that people showed respect back then. And it was all part of him coming to us to save us. And it's part of how we show love to others. So love is polite. It's not rude. It does matter whether you're polite, out of respect for God as one of his image bearers, and out of love for others, especially for the lost, and trying to meet them where they are and reach them with the gospel. So that's what I wanted to cover today on how love is not rude. If you have any questions, hello from Ireland. Good to see you, Carolyn, there. Good to have you with us. If anybody has any questions, feel free to drop them in the comments there. I know there's a bit of a lag here, or you can shoot me a text. But I will go ahead and close us in prayer here, and then if any questions come in, I can address them. But let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your kindness to us and your politeness to us, in a sense, as you met us where we are, culturally speaking, and you have spoken to us in Scripture using terms and language that we can understand. And I pray that you would help us to be students of our culture, so that we can, or whatever cultures surround us, so that we can reach out and make others comfortable out of love for them and out of the desire to reach them with the gospel. I pray that we would be known as polite people, that we would not be known as rude people, not just because that's expected, but because of our love for you and our love for the people around us. We thank you so much for Christ and for the forgiveness we have through him, for the ways that we have not loved you and loved others around us by our rudeness. And I pray that you'd help us to be more loving each day as we grow to be more like Christ. We thank you that happens because of the work of your Spirit in us, and pray that you would produce that fruit of the Spirit in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I don't see any questions right now, so we'll just go ahead and wrap up. If you want to, I'll try to answer any questions that come later, and we'll just look forward to resuming the study of Edward's book next week. So I will see you all later.